At the end of every episode of this podcast, we invite small business owners to text us. And sometimes they take us up on it, like this business owner.
Hi, my name's Oriana, and I came across Shoestring on Spotify. I have a home decor brand based in New York, and I'd be interested in talking to someone to learn more.
I did a quick Google search for Oriana's brand, Sound New York, and I landed on this site that didn't look like a small business website. It was beautifully designed and had stunning product photography. This looked to me like a bigger business. But I invited Oriana anyway to be my guest for this episode of Shoestring, the show where we help small businesses with big ambitions and tight budgets. I'm Alfredo Salkeld.
Well, I have to say I was super impressed, like, just the design of your website. When I went to it, I was like, this is, I thought it was like a big company, not in a bad way. So it sounds like it's just you and then maybe a little bit of help, or?
Yeah. And then, you know, and I have a team. I had hired a graphic designer. We were like working together, coder. Then I was doing some work with a small branding company.
But now it's just Oriana running the online store, Sound New York.
It's a home decor brand based in New York. I identify as a BIPOC person, so it's a BIPOC-owned brand.
Oriana works for the health department during the day, but she spends the rest of her time building Sal.
This is kind of like my dream, my passion. Right now, it's mostly centered around women's social rights.
She partners with nonprofits from around the world that produce items like
baskets that are handmade in Kenya by women artisans,
and rugs, hair scrunchies, and cushions made from recycled garments by women in India.
Every item has a story, has a purpose. Sal is kind of like a reflection of me and my values as a person, and I wanted to share that with people.
But a beautiful and meaningful brand can't generate sales if no one knows about it.
The brand has kind of just been sitting there for a little while now, and I'm kind of just like, okay, well, I have to find something to be able to reach that target audience. You know, the products are there, they're beautiful products, but we definitely have struggled on that aspect, I would say, for sure.
It's not that Oriana hasn't tried to market Sal yet. She's collecting emails through her website, and she ran meta ads in the past. But right now, with her limited time and budget, it's easier to sell products through retail partners.
We've been really lucky. We have some products at Canvas, at the World Trade Center and Seaport. They're one of the few retail partners that partner with the United Nations for like social development goals. We've just been relying on the retail partners to sell these products, and they have their own client base.
Oriana knows it will be more profitable in the long run if she can sell direct to consumers.
The products have been selling well, I would say. But I would definitely want to build like that own independent client base. You know, that's the ultimate goal. Retail partners do get a commission from this, but at the end of the day, the payout is kind of like they're still keeping half, you know, so.
Oriana doesn't need our help with branding, building partner relationships, or sourcing beautiful products. She knows how to do all that. But marketing, on the other hand, is overwhelming and not something that comes naturally to her.
So it sounds like what would be helpful is low budget, creative way to get your name out there and start generating sales separately from the retail partners.
Yeah, exactly.
My co-host Danny and I bounce some ideas around.
I mean, I already am thinking about low hanging fruit, like joining directories. When I look for sustainably sourced brands, I go to a site called Good For You.
Another low-hanging fruit would be she should have a list of the retailers. I also think it's a trust signal to show that people actually are carrying her stuff.
Then the other things I'm thinking about are like pop-up shops. I think that there's a sustainable pop-up shop in New York. I don't know if it's still running.
We could come up with big ideas all day, but Oriana is already short on time and has a limited budget. We needed one practical marketing tactic that's easy to put into action and that could generate more visibility for Sound New York. This one was going to be tougher than I thought. So I did what I normally do when I'm procrastinating on a marketing challenge. I scrolled through Instagram.
What's up? I'm Sam Culkins. I'm in my backyard.
And then inspiration struck. I was watching a video of this guy trying to lift a massive tree log over his head. How does this relate to Oriana and her business? Well, just hang with me here for a sec. This guy, who goes by the handle Oscar Squats, posts a video of himself every day trying to lift the same log over his head. And every day he gets just a little bit closer. Oscar's videos are a somewhat silly example of a marketing concept called building in public. It's all about sharing a transparent, behind-the-scenes look at your life or how you run your business. You're giving people a reason to root for you. This building in public approach has helped a lot of companies. Take the Asian noodle brand Omsom, for example. Its founders Vanessa and Kim share behind-the-scenes videos about things like how their new product launches perform in stores.
We just finished a 90-day challenge with a national grocery chain. Did we crush it or did we crash out? So our Asian noodle company got into the Sprouts Foragers program last year.
In 2023, Omsom's revenue was reported to be $3.7 million. And recently, they shared the story of how they sold their business.
People think mergers and acquisitions is a super sexy transaction in suits and boardrooms. But for us, it started at a coffee shop in Tribeca. After following
Building in Public has also worked for Melody Lim, the founder of an eco-friendly candle brand called Mala. Melody documents the highs and lows of growing her business on Instagram and TikTok.
This is the story of how I got fired from my 9-to-5 for having a side hustle and then turned that side hustle into a 7-figure candle business all from my parents' basement. Hi, I'm Melody, and I'm
It may not be the right strategy for every brand, but in Oriana's case, it's a free and relatively simple way to share Sal's brand story. But Oriana had some reservations about the idea.
I have spent money previously working with like small branding companies, and it was just utterly exhausting because at the end of the day, I was still the one that had to go and pack the orders and send them out, and then also record the content that they needed for like social media. And it was just, it was exhausting. I just couldn't keep up with so many things, you know? So I'm facing that burnout a little bit.
I totally get it. I'm not running Sound New York. And so this is just an idea as an outsider, right? But it's clear that from your website and from your product photography, like you have a super high attention to detail and to the visuals of things and making sure that everything like looks beautiful because that's the brand you're building. You even see that on your social.
I think if you let go of your standard of the visual a little bit on social, and it was just like, I just need to get something out today, I actually feel like a lot would happen. Like if you committed to it for 2 months.
And, you know, not to say it's not work, right? Like you still have to think about what should I post. So we thought a little bit about like, could we provide her with a framework to help brainstorm ideas?
The framework I came up with is called CHEW, C-H-E-W. It's an acronym for the types of behind the scenes content you can share, starting with C for challenges.
And it can be something really big, like building the website, incorporating an LLC, or it could be really small. Like, here's an insight that a lot of people don't get into being an entrepreneur.
H for highlights.
Like, hey, I just got our products into a new store.
E for education.
Things you're learning along the way.
And lastly, W for worries and wishes.
So you could say something like, hey, this month I'm trying to sell one scrunchie every day. That's my goal. And hey guys, I just put money into these Facebook ads. I'm not sure if it's going to work. But I think letting people into that behind the scenes and you're telling the story versus leading with the product, I think there's like all of these little micro stories that you're sitting on that are super interesting that can be told through social.
My hope was that this CHEW framework would make it easy for Oriana to think about what to post. But it doesn't solve the issue of actually making the content. She told me about her past experience trying to leverage social with the help of an agency.
It got super exhausting for me to be able to just like keep up with like recording the content, turning that over to them, approving it, and then taking pictures of things. Like I couldn't keep up with it. I was so vexed on, you know, like the beautiful content and what's going to be put out there. It's a home decor brand. Like it has to look aesthetically pleasing.
My advice here was something that the business influencer Gary Vaynerchuk, love him or hate him, talks about often.
Why don't you think of it as documenting instead of creating? Make a documentary instead of a feature film, and then you don't have to think at all.
No matter how you feel about Gary V, he has a point. Filming things as they happen is way easier than meticulously planning each video frame by frame. So as you're going about your day, just take out your phone and start documenting. Instead of thinking, I need to plan out all of my posts for this month and set aside a whole day to film, you can just turn to the content you've already collected and turn it into stories using the CHEW framework. Look for challenges, highlights, educational moments, wishes, worries that you can share with your audience. And if you're still stuck on ideas, don't be afraid to open up ChatGPT.
How much do you use ChatGPT? Like, have you played around with it at all?
I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm sorry.
ChatGPT? You've never used ChatGPT?
This is the first time I am hearing about this, actually.
Oh my gosh, this is blowing me away. I'm going to change your life right now. Okay, I'm going to pull it up. Can you see? You can see this.
Yes,
yeah?
I see.
Amazing. Yeah. Okay. So ChatGPT is like an AI chatbot. And I find it really useful when you're stuck and just can't think of ideas. Now, it won't do everything for you. But if I was you and I was like, oh, I need 30 days of content for my brand and I want to do this building in public thing, but I don't want to sit here and hit my head against the desk trying to come up with ideas. Mm-hmm. Let me just try writing something. It will think for a second.
Interesting.
And then it'll just output suggestions for these 30 days. And you can go back and forth and be like, oh, I don't like this about your suggestions.
I think I will definitely give it a try.
Now, what if you want to build your business in public, but parts of your business are done virtually, like sourcing old garments to repurpose into housewares?
When it comes to sourcing, you know, because people are far away, it's engaging more in like emails and exchanging and picking out colors and things like that. How is one able to kind of talk about that process where you're not having like the physical curation in person?
I think in like our wildest dreams, you'd be able to show yourself with the person who's stitching the stuff and you're like walking with them. But that's not like how businesses really are. Like a lot of times they are virtual and over email, and it's okay to like just show your thought process. If you need to show your computer and look at all these emails I had to send just to be able to add this one product to my website. Like I think that kind of realness is cool.
You could also be sitting on a goldmine of building in public content. Just remember, you don't need flashy or highly polished content to get started. Take out your phone and start recording parts of a business that not everybody gets to see. Soon you'll have a collection of content that'll have people rooting for you. We're already rooting for you. So text us at 954-419-3657. We read every text, and if we think we can help, you could be featured on an upcoming episode of Shoestring. If you liked this episode, it would mean a lot if you left us a review. Shoestring is a podcast by Cinch, the customer communications cloud. We create products that make it easy for businesses of any size to reach their customers by text, email, phone call, or pretty much any other channel you can think of. Shoestring is written and edited by me, Alfredo Salkeld, and Danny Henyon. Thanks for listening.